blessing on my life. Goodness today. His faithfulness, his consistency. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Sing with me. I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your promise. Calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Sing, oh my God, I need you. Sing it.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh Rock, oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness.
So I'm calling on the come to prayer time, I invite you to take a posture of prayer. Some of us are coming in with joy, some are coming in with hurts, but we serve the same God, right? We serve a God who frees the captives and saves. Let's sing that together.
You free the captives, then you are freeing hearts right now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You touch the lepers, then I feel your touch right now. The Holy Spirit, Almighty River, come and fill me again.
Let's sing that again.
Come and fill me again. Come and fill me again.
Welcome to church. My name is Tim. I'm one of the pastors here. And it's good to be with you this morning, worshiping the God who is the God that we've read about for all these years. I think about the people of Israel in captivity in Egypt and them praying out, calling out to God to release them, to free them, to allow them to worship back in their old land. And God answered that prayer. The image that really gets me in that song is the idea that we're standing in front of our own Goliath. And the God that was with David and helped David overcome is the God that is with us. When I became a pastor, I made a deal with my daughter that I would not tell stories about her from the front of the church without her permission. And if I ever did, I owed her $5. Probably going to owe her more than $5, but on the night of February 28th, I was woken up in the middle of the night and an overwhelming sense that I needed to get to Ohio in order to save her life. And when I got to Ohio that morning on February 29th, she was in the floor of her living room almost dead. She's been in treatment since then. And I am proud to say that the God who heard the prayers of ancient times hears your prayers today. Tomorrow my daughter is being released. We'll be back with her. God has answered our prayers, and I'm so thankful. Let's pray together. God, you are the same God that created the heavens and the earth. You are the same God who freed the people of Israel. You're the same God that helped David, that helped the prophets, that called the apostles, that set the church in motion, that is involved in our lives today. And it's impossible for us to really comprehend that. You have always been, and you always work for love and redemption in our lives. And we are so thankful that the things that we care about, that the people that we care about, you care about. And so, God, whether our friends and loved ones are recovering from surgery or in the hospital or dealing with depression and addictions, just uncertainty in their job, in this economy, God, you care and you are involved. And so, God, as we ask you to stay involved and to be involved in these situations, we pray that you will also make us the answers to our own prayers. Where we see people that are hurting, where we see people that are in need, help us have the courage to reach out. Help us to have the courage to become the kingdom of God in the lives of the people who live around us in our neighborhood. God, we love you and we praise you this morning, not just for what you've done, but for who you are and the way that you love us. God, thank you. It's such an inadequate phrase, but it's what we have. And so, Lord, we give you our thanks this morning. We praise you for who you are. And we pray that in the remainder of this service that you will be glorified. And that in a few minutes, when all has been said and done, that we will leave this building changed. And that we will go out and change the world for your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So one of my favorite parts of our service, and I'm glad to say I found a church in Ohio that does the same thing. It's so funny, the church in Ohio, we sing the same songs, we do CR on Tuesday nights, we do passing of peace. It's like I'm just at our sister church away, except the people are different. So we're transitioning in time of passing the peace, and it's not just a, hey, howdy, how are you doing, but it really is a time to speak the peace of Christ into the lives of those that are seated around you. And it's also okay if you're seated on this side and you want to go over to that side. You don't have to just do it to the people that are around you. We take as much time as we need here to pass the peace of Christ. And so let me be probably the first person to say to you this morning, may the peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you, brother.
Stand, pass that peace around.
Oh my goodness, oh my goodness, sorry. It's me, y'all are waiting on me. I'm so glad to have y'all here today. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name's Garen, and I'm one of the pastors here, along with Pastor Tim, who you just saw, and Pastor Jason, who's in the back, and Pastor Jen, who is in North Carolina seeing her family. We have the joy of serving with you. And so we're in our series called Encounters with Jesus. And I want us to, before we get into that, I want us to hear from the Word of God. And so will you pray with me our prayer for understanding? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read and your Word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say today. Amen. I bet most of you have that memorized, don't you? Oh, today's passages are good. We're going to start in Acts. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. We're going to start with Acts chapter 8. This is a great passage. My title says Philip and the Ethiopian Eunuch. So if you're looking for Acts, it's about that far into your book. If you've got a digital copy, it's about 3 swipes. And you'll come to Acts chapter 8. Acts is about the works of the church and the way God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was moving and engaging people into ministry. And so here we see another great encounter. So I'm going to read beginning with verse 26. Here we go. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. And seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah, and Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man replied, "How can I, unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of Scripture he had been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. And as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Hey, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" And he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north in the town of Azotus. And he preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. And then we're going to go to the book of John. John the poet. Love his writing. John chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. This is the farewell discourse. This is Jesus in the upper room before he's to be crucified. And he has these final words for his disciples. And he says this. In chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. "I'm the true grapevine, and my Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit so that they will produce even more." "He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so that they'll produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. But anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But the branches, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. Church, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I go to church every Easter. Can't remember when I didn't attend some church, somewhere, on Easter weekend.
But if you want me to be totally honest
and totally transparent,
I gotta admit something to you.
I'm not sure how the story of the empty tomb affects my life.
Affects my life.
Affects my life.
Please understand, I'm not questioning whether or not it can change my life.
I'm pretty sure there's something in the story that could speak to me.
I'm asking the hardest question of all.
I'm asking you.
I'm asking you.
I'm asking you. So what?
So if you've been with us since Easter, whoops, I'm just going to say now, my bad. If you've been with us since Easter, we've been in this series called Encounters with Jesus. It's so easy for us to come on Easter and hear about this story, but does it really affect us now? Is God really moving in our lives here and now? And so we've been talking about encounters with Jesus, the way that God, through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is intersecting with our lives and doing new things. And so you remember a couple weeks ago we had Vanessa that spoke, and she gave her testimony, and I love that we prayed. Okay, I feel like the lights are really dark. Can we make sure these are on? It should be sermon lights. All right, and maybe the back lights. All right, thanks. Sorry, I just feel like I can't see you like I normally can. Maybe it's my glasses. So Vanessa, if you'll recall, she said, we said, how can we pray for you? There you are. All right. Said, how can we pray for you? And she said, actually, if you can pray for my husband, Tom. And then the next week she came back and said, you're not going to believe this. But when I got home and she told us the miracles that were happening, even as we were praying. And then last week we had Kyle share his testimony. And wow, if you missed it, go back and listen to last week's time with Kyle. And we were praying for him, and he's been waiting for insurance, for things to happen, and they've just been slow. And I talked to him this past week, and he's like, boom, it's happened. God's moving. It's working. So I'm so thankful for that. Today, I'm so excited. Seriously, go back and listen to those two services. They're great. Today, I'm so excited to have my friend Liz, who's going to be sharing with us. And so she's going to come up, and we all give her a warm welcome. Give her any kind of welcome.
I'm going to give this to you.
I don't really want
to. You have to. We got to be able to hear you. Do you want to sit here or here?
Wherever the light's not in my eyes.
That's nowhere up here. That's nowhere.
Okay, never mind. It doesn't matter.
Are you good?
I'm good.
So this is our last week with this, but I've had a couple of you say, hey, how long is this going on? Because I feel like maybe I should be sharing what God's doing in my life, which is exactly what we should be doing all the time. So we're going to try to do another series of this maybe in the fall. So be praying about it. I mean, what does Revelation say? We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There's someone that needs to hear what God's doing in your life. You need to share, okay? So Liz, how are you doing? So this is my friend Liz, and we're just going to kind of have a conversation, and you get to listen in. And basically, we're going to talk through a couple of things. First off, how long have you been coming to PO NAS? what brought you here? Just let's give some background, because there may be people that don't quite know you.
I've been coming about almost exactly a year. And what brought me here was Celebrate Recovery sign in front of your church. I thought, I haven't been to one of those meetings in quite a while. Maybe I should go. So, just a minute.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had to get permission to do something else. I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I want you to know that God has changed my life. And I'm not talking a little bit. I'm talking major. I was born into a Christian family. We attended church whenever the doors were open. I learned how to sit in a seat like that and hear nothing. I learned also that just because I went to the altar and tried to find Jesus, that didn't happen. For whatever reason, I don't know, but it didn't happen. And then the same church, after several times, I more or less gave up because I figured there is no way I can keep 37,000 rules and get myself into heaven, so I guess I'm not going to try. And so I stopped trying. But God is faithful. He kept running after me. And he ran fast and hard. I have been in numerous churches. And when I got old enough to leave home, I pretty much left the church. I didn't bother going until I met a family. And during that time, I also got addicted to alcohol, which didn't help me too much because my problems stayed with me. But this family took me into their home, showed me unconditional love, and told me, and I'll never forget, you are more than an alcoholic. You are a child of God. And I thought, well, okay, I've heard that before, but, you know, the part about you are more than an alcoholic changed my life. Because then I thought, I started going to my meetings and with a new perspective that I was more than an alcoholic. But these people loved me no matter where I was at and what I did. And they would sit up at night waiting for me to stumble into the house. And it just made a big difference. Well, then I got married. And then that was, I'm not sure that I lost my focus, is what I did. I lost focus, and I no longer experienced unconditional love. I no longer felt loved or cared for. I no longer, and so there again, we didn't faithfully go to church. And then we had kids. We lost two children before Danny was born, and that was pretty hard. And I learned through all that, I became very bitter and very angry and very, I didn't want anything to do with God or the people of God because they caused hurt. And we talked about hurt in Sunday school. Ken brought that out. I'm supposed to love them and forgive them even if I hate them. So I'm trying to. But I'm getting there. So if you don't deal with the unforgiveness, you get yourself eventually tied in chains that you cannot break yourself. I successfully did that. I went for years hating, angry, disillusioned, and upset. And I thought, I can't even pray anymore because I'm so bound up in these chains of unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and all the things that are not a part of Jesus. And I don't know where Jesus is. So I just continued in that way. And I went to church after church after church looking for Jesus. after a while you get tired of looking for Jesus and you just kind of accept this is the way it's going to be and there's no hope. So when I came across that sign out there, I thought, I had trepidations of coming into the Nazarene church because I was afraid I wasn't dressed right. Because someone back in my mother and dad's church of the Nazarene told me, I was trying to come to church with my dad so he'd take me out to dinner, which was the only reason I was coming. So I had my jeans and my ratty sweatshirt on and a pair of sandals, and this guy met me at the door. He says, what do you think you're doing? I said, I thought I was going to church with my dad. He says, well, you can't come in the church dressed like that. It's an abomination to God. And I said, it's all the clothes I have. He said, well, you're going straight to hell. I said, yes, you are right. I am going straight to hell, but not because of how I'm dressed. And I proceeded to walk in after my dad and sat down because I did want to go out to eat. I heard nothing other than that whole time. But anyway, that's just added to the more anger and the bitterness in my heart. So when I came to the driveway here, I sat in the car a long time. I thought, do I go in or do I not? And I sucked it up and went in. I thought, okay, I'm just going to do this. And I sat back there in the corner. Well, Pastor Garen met me, and then he pushed me off on Jules. Bless her heart. She took care of me. And I'm telling you.
He connected you with Jules.
Oh, that's right. He connected me. He didn't push me. He connected me. Oh, the difference.
Come on now. My boss is over there.
Oh, sorry. He connected me with Jules. And it was, oh, boss, close your ears a minute. It was the most boring church business meeting I'd ever attended.
So Liz had the wonderful opportunity to join us for our annual meeting, which was after service in our potluck. And do you remember what you said at the end of the service?
I sure do. I said, tell me this isn't the way you always run your church.
And I said, no, it's not. This is very unique. And you said, do you remember?
I hope so.
You said, I hope so, because I don't think I'll be back for this.
But.
I thought I would never see Liz again.
What I did was I took all this material that he passed out for the annual reports and whatever, and I read every word of that material. And I thought, well, if these people are going to do all these things, maybe I could get involved. So a month later, I came back, and I told Pastor Garen, I read all this stuff. If you're doing all this stuff, I think I could support that. And I sat down. He preached on knowing God, and not just knowing God, but knowing God to the point of change. And I remember that day, I think they were going to pass the peace or something, and I came from that back row and knelt at that altar right there, and people, my life was changed right there. Yes, thank God it was changed. And then I thought, well, you know, it's a start. Let me back up a minute. When I came in here, I was in such a mess. My life was a mess. I knew if I died, I would probably go to hell. And I thought, I was afraid to go to sleep at night because I wasn't prepared to die. And I had found my husband who had died in his sleep. So I was afraid to go to sleep. So I'd be staying up all night and all day and acting stupid and whatever. But when I came and actually seriously met Jesus, I won't say I'm sleeping good, but I'm not afraid to go to sleep. But there is a difference. But I think the key for me has been my good friend came alongside of me chased me through the church to give me Sunday school material that I didn't want, invited me to Bible study, invited me to this, invited me to that and something else, and came alongside of me and encouraged me to grow, encouraged me in my faith. And to me, that has been the sticking point for my life, is somebody to disciple me and move the head knowledge, and I have a lot of that, down to my heart and allow my heart to be transformed by Jesus. And brothers and sisters, it's happening, and I'm excited. And I expect, in my growth here, I expect to see Jesus move in this church in a mighty, 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 mighty way. I expect it. And I expect every time I walk through that door that I'm going to encounter Jesus, whether it be in you people, my friends, or if it's a divine whatever, lightning bolt or whatever, I expect to see Jesus when I get here. And I pray and I prepare myself and I do whatever. I beg God to let me see him. I want to know him. I want him to change my heart. I want to hear anything that's being spoken from the Word of God that will change my heart. I have to tell you one more thing, and it's kind of a backtrack. But the day that I came to church and I was having trouble with my eye, and I asked Pastor Garen to pray for my eye, and he did. He invited me up here. And y'all came and prayed for me and for my eye and my vision. And for the first time in my life, I opened my eyes, and here's all these people standing around me concerned about whether or not I could see. And I thought, I have friends here. I truly have friends here. And I thought, thank you, people, thank you. So that was at the beginning of my walk. And now I do Ken's class. By the way, people, you're missing out if you don't show up for Ken's class at 9 o'clock, because we talk about a lot of good stuff. Anyway, there's no charge for that plug, Ken. I won't. It's okay. But we do have a good time there, and it's a very interesting class. And Ken goes to a lot of trouble to prepare the lesson for us. Oh, my hands are sweating. The other thing that's really changed my life is we started a prayer group. It meets at 3:30 on Wednesday afternoons, because a lot of us are old and can't see at night, so we put it in the afternoon. And we meet together, and we're praying for revival for this church. We're praying for revival in our hearts. We're praying for revival in our families. We are praying that the Holy Spirit will come upon us in a way that we can't even explain. And I truly, truly expect that to happen. Somebody said something I overheard, and I can't even remember what it was, that they prayed for something else or whatever. I thought, well, the revival, if I understand it correctly, revival has to start in my heart before it starts in any of your hearts. I mean, God could do it at the same time, but what I'm saying is I can't just pray for revival for you if it's not starting in me. First off, I wouldn't care enough about you to pray for you, sorry. But there again is a change of heart, because I've been for 70-some years pretty self-absorbed and couldn't reach out past us four no more. Even if it was four, sometimes it was only me. So God is changing. And a big thing was I'm learning that Jesus lives in me. And the power that Jesus had also lives in me. So as we pray for revival and we pray for each other and we pray for things to happen, we started to pray the scripture of the Lord Jesus. And people, that's powerful. It's very powerful. When you start reading God's word and then you start praying it back to him, God always, always honors his word. God always, always meets your needs wherever they're at. Whatever you're doing, he is always there. And because of that truth, our prayers have power. So I truly am believing and expecting for complete healing in this eye. Hadn't happened yet, but it's better. So I'm praying for complete healing. I'm praying for people to walk. The lame shall walk and the blind shall see. I'm praying for all of that. I'm praying for, I guess more than that, is the heart transformation for my children, my grandchildren, my church family, anybody that God lays on my heart. I'm praying, Jesus, be real to them. Let them know your love. Let them believe your word. And let's pray in power. And in closing, I just want to read a scripture here. It says, maybe I'm going to read it. Okay. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me always, constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn toward me. And when I waken in the morning, you are still thinking of me. It's from Psalm 139, 17 through 18. And that, my friends, gets you through the day, gets me through the day. God is with me. God is thinking about me. God loves me. And I declare that I am now a child of the Most High God. Amen.
So I hope that you didn't miss some of the beauty in this testimony. I don't think you did, but let me just recap. I love the idea of you being discipled to Christ, through Christ, and beyond, and how important it is for us. I truly am a believer. There are people that are discipling me, and there are people that I am called to disciple. And that's not a pastoral position. That's a follower of Jesus position. And so if you... you should have someone in your life that is discipling you. You should have someone in your life that you are discipling. It may be more casual. It may be... that doesn't mean that, like, hey, let's meet on Tuesdays and we're going to read through Ezekiel together. Sometimes the best discipling happens when you're working on the car, or when you're out on playing disc golf, or when you're grabbing coffee. Don't overcomplicate this. You have the power of Christ. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is alive and at work within us. Be salt. Remember when we went through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus didn't say you should be salt. That'd be a good idea if you could try to be. No, you are salt. You are light. If you are in Christ, be salt. Be light. I also, I think there are some of us here that have got this all down. Some of us are only 18 inches away from the most powerful experience we'll ever know.
That's right.
About this far.
Don't wait till you're 74 to get it.
Don't wait till you're 74 to get it. I love the importance of community that you have found in your life. And the last thing I loved, as we have shared and taken walks around, she lives in my neighborhood, so sometimes we take nature walks. When we were talking about this, I said, Liz, you should share. She said, well, what would I share? I said, well, when have you encountered Jesus? And she says, I do every week. I said, tell me about that. And she said, I prepare my heart before I ever leave the house. I'm praying, I'm listening, I'm reading. I'm not going expecting somebody to impress me. I'm going expecting to encounter Jesus.
That's
and I'm never disappointed. So it's my prayer that we would all be that way. Not just on Sundays, but every day we wake up and we're like, God, what do you have for me? I want to live into all that you have for me. I love you. You picked my favorite passage. I love in Psalm 139, give the whole chapter a read. I love how it begins, God, you have searched me and you know me. And it ends with, so God, continue to search me and know me, test me, try me and know my ways. So it's this lifelong process of I am being searched by God and I am being transformed. And so God, continue to search me, continue to change me, make me more like you. I want to be more like your son. I want the power of the Holy Spirit alive. And it's this, God, you've searched me, continue to search me. God, you've searched me, continue to search me. I'll tell you, there's some vulnerability that happens if you would do that. Because the Spirit will expose things in your life that you may not want to see. You may not want to hear. And yet, when it is the Spirit convicting, there is a desire to change and to surrender. The Spirit convicts. The Spirit does not shame. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So as the Spirit convicts, it's my prayer that you would say, okay, God, open hands, clean eyes, pure heart, I'm yours. I also wanted to share, because we've had two miraculous physical encounters, and yet I think there are many of us in the boat that would say, I don't know that I've had this huge miraculous, I was almost dead and God brought me back to life. But I think all of us have had to deal with, will I surrender? Will I allow the Spirit to change me and transform me and make me more into the image of the Savior that I claim to follow? That's the encounter that all of us have. And so it's my prayer that you will continue to encounter Jesus in your everyday life through the scripture that you're reading, through the prayers that you're praying, through the encounters that you're having with other people. I have the joy to tell you that the Creator of all things, the God who juggles comets and is still expanding our universe, wants to know you intimately and personally, and wants to live in you and take up residence in your life. Did you hear that? I feel like someone, 50 years ago, somebody would have been running by this point. The God who spoke into existence longs to exist completely in your life. May it be so. Liz, thank you so much. Y'all, next week.
I
totally forgot that. No. Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. I don't have my iPad, so I forgot the last question. The last question is, how can we be praying for you?
I want you all to pray for my disciples or disciplees or disciple whatever. I have a couple nieces, and I just met another girl yesterday. Well, not met her, but we went to a concert with Brandon Lake, and she confessed a need with her child. So I, being the person that I am, said, well, if you want to know, see results, start praying the Word of God. I said, there's scriptures. You just start praying the Word of God over your children, and God will change your children. And God will change you and show you the way. So I have three young ladies now that I'm giving material to that need to know a deeper walk with Jesus. So one's got marriage problems. Another one has, you know, just basic, I want to do better. She's in the AA program now, and so she needs prayer for that and her family. And the other one, like I just said, has family trouble with her son. So these young ladies, they all need your prayers. And I pray that they would learn how to read the scripture and pray it back to God. to read the scripture and pray it back. Because God's word changes people. Thank you.
Come up and let's pray for Liz. As you're coming, I think it's worth noting all three that have had encounters with Jesus that we've talked through. When I said, how can I pray for you? They said, pray for someone else that I'm trying to minister to. I think there's something about we're always praying for the person in our life that has a need. So let's pray. God, I thank you for my friend Liz. I thank you that you brought her into our doors a year ago and that her life has been such a blessing to so many here. God, I thank you for the way that you are working in her and through her. I thank you for the opportunities that she's having to disciple her grandchildren and her kids. And God, I pray right now that you will be with her, that the joy that you have for her will be contagious. I pray that she will be the kind of disciple maker that we all need to be, where she is not only proclaiming you and your love, but she is living it out in flesh and blood. She is the visible, tangible image of your grace in this world. And I pray that you'll be with her. God, I thank you that she has these three women in her life that she is wanting to disciple. And God, I pray that you will give her words and give her wisdom. Help her to know what to say and what not to say. Help her to know when the time is right and when it's just right to pray. And I pray that you will give her wisdom from your spirit. And God, I pray that these encounters, when she has them with these three, will be meaningful and significant for your kingdom, for your glory. And I pray lives will be changed. I thank you that you are a God who heals. You are a God who saves. You are a God who redeems. There are no throwaway people. You are the God who longs to redeem and restore all of creation. And so we submit to you today. God, thank you for my friend Liz. Thank you for her encouragement that she is to me. I'm just so grateful that she came into our church a year ago. I thank you for the impact that she is having on so many people in our congregation that she probably doesn't even realize. Continue to use her and bless her. We pray this in your name, Jesus, through your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, you need
I need a help to get out of here.
I love seeing you guys every week. This is one of my favorite times. Sometimes communion time is selfish for me because I love it when you choose my side. And you come up, and I get to look you in the eye and just.
We can go back.
If you love me, choose my side this morning.
Oh my!
It is the community of people that loved me from my childhood. Liz, people loved you all the way along. Sometimes you knew it, sometimes you didn't. And I realized sometimes people loved me all the way along. And it didn't click sometimes till later on. And there's probably some of you loving on me right now in ways that I don't realize. And when I'm Butch's age, it's going to click and it'll make sense finally. You know? Sorry. I'll be here next week too, everybody. I just love that we come to the table together. So let's celebrate. Let's celebrate what Jesus has done in Liz's life. And just the grace, the mercy, the absence of shame that Pastor Garen talked about, that he brings on us as he just says, hey, come freely to me. I love you. Father, we come to you. We thank you for your gift of love, of grace. How merciful you are. I pray as we practice this ancient ritual, that it becomes more than just a ritual to us. That we know we can be in your presence, that you live within us. And it's more than just a symbol, that you are a true life changer, a dream giver, and that everything is made right through you. We praise you in all things. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, if you're new and you don't know how our ritual goes, just follow someone in front of you, and you'll figure it out quick. And I look forward to seeing you on my side.
Oh my. Okay, just a couple more things.
I have the joy of giving some announcements. First of all, I'm so glad you're here. It really is different when you're not here. I mean, literally, but like, well, it's one of our core values. We're better together. And so we'd love to know that you're here and update any information that you might have. So feel free to scan the QR. You see ways that you can reach the pastors. You also see at the very bottom, maybe one of the most underused things that we have. We are a praying church, and we want to pray for you. So, prayer@pionaz.church, let us know how we can partner with you in your prayers. Okay? Second thing is, oh, don't forget, our monthly potluck next week. Y'all need to come back. Like, this is not your typical, like, which pieces of food have hair in them. Like, no, this is like... If you have not been to a Pionaz potluck, you have not been to a potluck. It's legit. So next week, so bring it, all right? The third one, baptisms. I'm so excited. On the 19th, we will be having baptisms. We have two that are already signed up. Now listen carefully, because this is a slight change. Hey, buddy, you want to come on up here? Okay. Our baptisms are going to be at the beach at Toronita. So, now hear me. I want to be sure. All eyes on me. 1, 2, 3, eyes on me. 7:30, Sunday the 19th. So it'll be an evening that we're going to gather at Toronita, the parking area, walk across to the beach. Right now we have Sienna. She's graduating in a couple weeks, and she said, I want to make this decision. And we have JC that's going to be baptized. And if there are more of you, let us know right away. We want to walk this path with you and join you in this celebration, this outward profession of what God's doing in your life. But that will be May 19th, 7:30, Toronita. I think I have, yeah. Tim has been a pastor to me over the past few years. Where are you, Tim? Thank you for your ministry. Tim and Debbie are starting a new chapter in their life. Tim will be leaving tonight and probably not returning, unless maybe it's just to sign papers. We have Debbie for another 4 weeks, 8 weeks. So, can I get you guys to come up here? Y'all... We're going to pray for them. I told you we're a praying church. So join me up here with them, and then we're almost done. Many of you have been impacted by Tim, whether you know it or not, because during COVID, he was our online pastor. He was the one that was, if I referenced the most obscure, I don't know, musical reference. He had the video clip up within 90 seconds. This is what Pastor Garen was talking about. If I mention a passage in passing, here's the Bible verse. Like, he was in real time helping us worship online. I'm so thankful for that. Debbie has been such an important part, helping with music and on the board. And I'm just so grateful for both of their lives. We actually, give me 1 second. We have a little gift for you, just to let you guys know how much we love you. There's one other thing that we're going to be doing. We're going to put a picture up later. I asked them, what do you need? And they said, we don't have very much where we're going to be moving. And so I said, well, would like gift cards help as you're preparing your new house and this and that? And so Debbie said, yes, here are the places that actually exist within like an hour of our house. And so there are six places. And so for the next 8 weeks, yeah, isn't that sad? Like McDonald's is not even on that list. So so over the next 8 weeks, not only are we giving them this love gift, but I want you guys to bring in gift cards that will help them as they refurnish their new home and help Alex and the baby move in. They're going to need things. And it might be nice just not to have to prepare a meal during some of these transitions. So let's pray for them real fast. God, I thank you for these two faithful followers of you. I thank you for their lives, individually and collectively. I thank you for the calling that you placed on them, for the way that they have served you in Kansas and Hawaii and in other places. I thank you for the way that they've helped in Orlando. And when they moved out here and jumped right in, God, I praise you for the way that you have used them. I thank you personally, God. I thank you for the friendship that I've had with them and for the way that they have encouraged and blessed me and my family. And God, they have particularly loved my girls well. And I thank you for their thoughtfulness and their kindness. I pray that you'll be with them in this transition. I pray for a blessing upon their life, their lives. I pray for them and for Alex and their precious grandchild. God, I pray that as they begin a new chapter, chapter that I don't think anyone expected 6 months ago, God, I pray that you will help them to flourish and thrive in their new community. God, give them ministries to plug into. Give them a way to connect better with their family again and to just be all that you have for them to be. I thank you for the chance that we've had for their paths to cross ours and for the fact that we are a better church and closer to you, Lord, because of their faithfulness. Be with them, and we love you, God. Amen. Amen. Just stay here. Just stay here. The last thing was offering, and we live our offering, we speak our offering, we give our offerings. I thank you for the way that you financially give, but I also thank you for the way that you lead and you serve, and your lives are, we are becoming offerings that are beautiful to God. And so you can see ways to give, and you know how we normally give, and I thank you because that helps us keep the lights on, which is good. But thank you more for the way that you are becoming people that not only encounter Jesus, because we all do, but you are seeing it and you are acting on it. So this is going to be weird because we're all really close, but we've got words back there and words up here. If you need them, let's sing our benediction together just right here. Sing with me. We sing
hallelujah, let your kingdom come in our hearts, in our homes, let your will be done. And as we go in your name, we shout and we proclaim, let your will be done in us.
Go in the peace and love of God, encountering him and being all that he's called you to be. We'll see you.